Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court lets Idaho protect children from medical mutilation. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court recently issued an emergency order allowing Idaho to enforce its statewide ban on harmful puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and irreversible mutilating surgeries for minors. While the Chief Justice John Roberts abstained from any opinion, the High Court ruled 5-3 to largely vacate a lower court's decision to fully block the Idaho law. However, the court also allowed the puberty blockers and hormone treatments to continue for the two anonymous teenagers whose families sued to block the school. In other words, as it relates to the anonymous plaintiffs in the case, there was an injunction issued by a lower court to block the law from stopping them from getting these puberty blockers, hormones, and other surgeries. That injunction is not vacated. That is still in place while the case moves forward. But what the court did is set aside the broader injunction that stopped the implementation of the entire law, meaning that the law now will go into effect for everybody else other than those two individuals who are part of this specific suit. I think part of this, Holly, is that the Supreme Court has indicated they don't like these broad injunctions. They don't like these injunctions that go beyond the individual people in the case to apply to other people who are not part of the litigation. In fact, what happened here is the law has a lot of different situations that it addresses, not only puberty blockers, hormones, but also surgeries. And the plaintiffs in this case were not even asking for surgeries. So how can the court issue an injunction to block the surgeries when there's nobody in the court case that even raises that as an issue?
Right. You know, this is all based on, in 2023, Idaho enacted the Vulnerable Child Protection Act, which criminalizes the act of mutilating children through so-called gender-related procedures as a felony. And according to the law's text, violators can face substantial prison time for a term of not more than life. And while the law was set to take effect January 1st, 2024, the federal district court temporarily blocked it, citing the law likely violates parents' equal protection and due process rights under the 14th Amendment. Then the U.S. district court judge ruled that parents have the right to seek specific medical treatment and approve gender procedures, that's their term, for their children. And then the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals declined Idaho's appeal and kept the law from being enforced.
Yeah, so that then made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And some of the discussions of the court, some of the statements of the court are interesting, which we'll get to in a minute. So while the case regarding the two families is still under litigation in the lower courts to determine whether a permanent injunction should be issued, Idaho's attorney general filed an emergency request to the Supreme Court claiming that the injunction was too broad, asking the court to limit it to just the two plaintiffs seeking access to drugs. Idaho now is seeking to enforce the law after this particular ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. So the lower court judge actually issued an activist decision, wiping out the enforcement of the entire law across the board,
which was created to protect children to begin with.
Yeah, and even though the plaintiffs in the case weren't challenging some of the aspects of the law, the judge still blocked it. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals allowed it to stay blocked, and that's when the Idaho Attorney General took it to the U.S. Supreme Court. So Justice Neil Gorsuch, who authored one of the High Court's opinions in this case, sided with Idaho and stated that the district court chose to impose a, quote, universal injunction, close quote, that prevented the state from enforcing all aspects of the law instead of a narrower injunction that just allowed access to the drugs the two plaintiffs sought. He noted that mutilating surgeries were not an issue in the case and questioned the need to block the entire law. He says, quote, "In this case, the district court went much further, prohibiting a state from enforcing any aspect of its duly enacted law against anyone." That's what he wrote in his statement. He goes on to say, quote, "Among other things, this meant Idaho could not enforce its prohibition against surgeries to remove or alter children's genitals, even though no party before the court had sought access to those surgeries," close quote. Gorsuch goes on to state that even the district court admitted the plaintiffs had no contention with the surgical bans under the law. Due to this admission, Justice Gorsuch noted, the district court's universal injunction was an extraordinary remedy that defied the foundational principles of an injunction, which should be tailored based on how likely it is to succeed on the merits and how it must not be more burdensome or on the state than necessary.
You know, but it seems like they may have been kind of walking on eggshells with this decision. But, you know, there's nothing good about doing this to children. These hormone treatments, these puberty blockers, and taking off healthy body parts, that is not the answer for these children. And I really appreciate Idaho enacting this law to try to protect them.
Yeah, he goes on to say, Justice Gorsuch writes, that when a state is prevented from enforcing a law enacted by its people's representatives, it suffers a form of irreparable injury. He concluded that prompt execution of a law, absent a showing of unconstitutionality, is always in the public interest. He also concluded that prohibiting the surgical removal of children's genitals has never been specifically held as offensive to federal law, and the lower court's ruling clearly strayed from traditional bounds. Mm. So I think that's a good statement here.
Yeah.
How can a law by the state that says you can't remove healthy genitals from minors be offensive to the federal constitution or the federal law? It can't be. How does that offend federal law? States have a right to be able to say that in our state, you're not going to do medical mutilating surgeries on children by removing healthy body parts. What right. if, for example, a parent came in and said, I want to remove my child's arm. What's wrong with your child's arm? It's fine. Good circulation, no problem. It's not broken. It's functioning well. But my child doesn't think that they're supposed to have an arm. Now, you might think, well, that's a ridiculous hypothetical. Well, it's not.
Same thing.
It's not, because there is a condition called apotemnophilia. That condition is where someone believes that they are a disabled person, but they are inhabiting an abled body. In other words, they shouldn't have an arm, but they actually do. So they're really distressed by the fact that they have an arm or a leg or fingers, and they want it amputated.
And it happens. I've seen that where they've had those surgeries.
It's happened. It's absurd. It's a mental condition.
And so you're doing the same thing to these children that feel like they've been pushed toward this agenda and they haven't gotten the proper counseling they need to say, well, I'm really the opposite gender. I need to have my certain parts taken off so that I can better identify with that. That's not the answer.
No, but I mean, you really think about it. What we just talked about is a real mental condition.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still classified as a mental condition by the APA in their Diagnostics and Statistics Manual, where somebody believes that they are a disabled person, but they are in an abled body.
Right.
That's no different than saying this is a person who is male, but they think that they are in the wrong body. They think that they should be in a female body.
There's mental confusion going on.
There's mental confusion going on. And so in order to address the former, the apotemnophilia, there are cases, there are situations worldwide where someone goes in and amputates a healthy leg, where somebody goes in and amputates a healthy arm, or where somebody thinks that they're a lizard and they want to go in and have plastic surgery and look like a lizard and cut off their ears.
It's hard to believe doctors will actually do that, but I guess it's a great moneymaker for them.
They do it because
of
money. They don't really care. They've lost their ethical base.
Yeah.
That's no different than taking off healthy breast, healthy genitals of somebody who says, well, I'm the wrong person. There's 23 states that have passed legislation banning medically mutilating procedures on children. Similar laws in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Oklahoma have been upheld by federal courts, while other laws are still in litigation. Alabama, Florida, Indiana, and Montana are temporarily blocked. The litigation is still continuing. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/helpkids. That's lc.org/helpkids. On that webpage, we are continuing to update all the states, all the legislation, all the litigation, so that you can have a one-stop source. lc.org/helpkids.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.